It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jim Dolan. We'll start off this program with a trip to the Bold Venture. You recall that's the Bogart's radio show, made in the late 40s, I believe. This one's called Revenge Equals Murder.
Bold Venture. Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean, Bold Venture. Once again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
You've been walking the wrong way, mister. John Bradford's place is back down the beach.
That-a-way.
Thank you very much. You've been most kind.
Oh, you can't miss the Bradford home. Its whole front wall facing the ocean is made out of glass. You'll find it.
I'm sure I will. Thanks again. Good morning.
See, I told you so, Slate. Take a walk on the beach early in the morning, you meet all sorts of interesting people. Now take her, for example.
Who?
Her, that woman walking toward us. It's interesting to think about people like her. For instance, why is she wearing a fur coat on a hot day like today? Mink yet.
Hey, wait a minute, sailor.
What?
She looks dazed. Something's wrong with her.
Well, that mink, it should happen to me. Hey.
Watch it, lady. You'll walk right into us.
Pardon me. Pardon me. Pardon me.
Something wrong? Can we help you?
Oh,
grab her, Slate. She's fainting.
I got her. Here, put your arm around my neck. I'll carry you over to the shade. There. You'll be all right. Don't worry about a thing.
Put her down here, Slate.
Help me. Help me.
Who are you? Where do you live? We'll take you home.
Help me.
I'll look in her pocketbook, Slate. Maybe she's got some identification. Here's her wallet. Look. She's Velma Bradford.
Yeah, well, go get our jeep, sailor. We'll...
Slate, look. Here in her purse. A knife. There's blood on it, Slate.
Help me. Help me.
Don't you understand English, sailor? Get the jeep. You're home now, Mrs. Bradford. Someone here who can take care of you?
John... My husband, he does things for me. He'll know what to do. There were those other times I got like this. He knew just what to do.
Ring the bell, Slate.
No. Oh, my key, it's in the purse. Just open the door. Maybe I can have a little time alone before John sees me like this. My key is in the purse.
Here it is, Slate.
You found it. It's your problem what to do with it.
Funny man. Hey.
Come in. All of you. Please come in.
You and your ideas, Slate. I stick a key in a door and up pops a policeman. You and you type welcome at LaSalle?
We will discuss me and the other things inside. Please.
Who are you? What are you doing in our house?
You are the Senora John Bradford.
What are you doing in our house?
I ask you, Senora.
Back up, LaSalle. Mrs. Bradford isn't well. We found her wandering on the beach. She'd lost her...
Inside will be cozier to tell me. The ocean breeze plays ping-pong with my sinuses. Please. Hey, you were saying me, Senor Shannon, how it is that of all the people in the world, it is you and the Senorita Duval who are at this moment with this woman.
Did I say you all that? All I remember I said was we found Mrs. Bradford wandering on the beach, dazed and sick. We looked in her purse, found something in it besides her identity.
Show it. If I've done something evil, I want him to see it.
Easy, honey. Here it is, LaSalle.
A knife with new blood upon it. Thank you for it. And now I have something to show you in the bedroom. Come. You will lead the way, Mrs. Bradford. You identify the dead man who lies in his blood as John Bradford, your husband, Senora?
I killed him. I was sick and angry. I killed him.
And the live man who sits quietly in a chair and shakes his head at us sympathetically. You can identify him too, Mrs. Bradford?
Leave the girl alone. She never saw me before. I told you, when you opened the door to me, all I know about this family was wrapped up in husband John.
Hey, you're the guy on the beach who asked how to get here.
I killed him. It's all over now, isn't it, John? No more sick wife. No more acting tender to me. No more treating me like a mad woman. No more...
Help me with her, Shannon, Miss Duval. Help me with her till we get her to the police hospital.
She's really sick, LaSalle. Be gentle with her.
It is the motto of my department, Miss Duval. Be gentle with murderesses. Who knows whom and when they will kill again. Come, help.
Elmer?
Hello, Larry.
I brought you flowers.
Sweet, Larry. What would you bring me if I were really sick?
I'll whisper it to you sometime.
How'd you get in here, Larry?
I told the cops outside the story again. I was a friend of your husband's. I am, too. Now that he's dead.
Now that you've killed him, Larry, let's not mix that up with anything else. I want you always to remember that. You killed him, and I'm confessing that I did it.
It'll work out, darling. You've got a record of mental illnesses.
I'm cured.
Yes, but there's the record. They can't do anything to you. A mental institution for a year or so.
It won't be any longer than that, will it, Larry? All that money. The processing plan. Mine. Ours. You're glad, aren't you?
What your husband did to me at Puente Padre...
A thing worries me, Larry. That man and girl who you talked to on the beach, Shannon and Miss Duval.
Oh, I asked him how to get to your house, as if I'd never been there before. Don't worry about anything. Try to get some sleep, Velma. It's been a hard morning.
Mr. Slate, he walk on the sugar white sand, old lady sailor by her delicate hand. To man who ask directions they quote, then wonder at lady who walk in mink coat. Look in her purse, silver knife they find, blood on the blade is enough to blind. Bring lady home, police open the door, her husband he dead on the carpeted floor.
You think she killed him, sailor?
You ask like you don't believe it.
I put a question on the table. You want to pick it up and answer it, or you just want to let it lay there?
Sal believes she killed her husband. She believes she killed him. Who am I to fight an organization like that?
If you ask my opinion, Mr. Slate...
Go ahead, King. You think Mrs. Bradford killed her husband?
What I think is that in the darkness that swirls and mists in the brain of such as this lost woman, there are many images that have been dreamed, and for which the wish of fulfillment is so strong that sometimes what has not happened is believed to have happened, simply because the dream wish was so strong when it does happen.
Yeah. Yes, sir, you're right. I never heard a man so right, so clear in his opinions. One more question, and it'll tie it up for me, King. You think Mrs. Bradford killed her husband?
Slate, what's the matter with you? You asked King a simple question. He gave you a simple answer. He said, He said,
Yeah, what'd he say, bright girl? What'd he say?
I don't know. Beats me.
I will put it another way.
No, you save it, King. Take good care of it. Kick around a delicate thing like that and it'll... Shannon's place. Shannon speaking.
The sky blue trailer in Paradiso Cove. Come to it, senor.
You selling used trailers? Not in the market, kid. I got a Jeep, a boat, a guitar playing quiz kid. Who needs a trailer?
You will need me who is in it. Pedro Montes. You will need me tonight to tell you about me. About sponges. About coral reefs that vanish. About the woman you found wandering on the beach. About...
Who can wait for the finish? Be right over, Pedro. Don't wait up for me, sailor. Guy on the phone got 1,001 things to tell me.
You are Senor Shannon?
That's right, and you're...
Pedro Montes. Come in quickly. Por favor, sit down.
What's all this about, Pedro?
Senor, this will take a long time to tell. Sit.
Now, let's get with it, Buster. I don't hike all the way down here to sit in a bucket inside a trailer. What's on your mind?
It is of the murder of Senor John Bradford.
What about it?
This thing, what happened earlier this morning, goes back a long time to the fishing for sponges. Senor, I am frightened for what happened at Puente Padre and what happened on Tinegre. You would not believe. Senor!
Pedro!
Come out of the trailer looking for me? Uh-uh. Don't turn around. Else you'd see what happened to you. Else you'd see what this gun butt just did to you. Sleep tight, Shannon.
Ooh. Leave me alone, will you, sailor? You've been at my battered head for 2 hours now.
A soft skull like yours takes time to mold back into shape. Besides, when I'm through with it, it'll look much jazzier. Here, let me plump up this flat part some more.
Oh, take your hands off it. I came with that.
Didn't you recognize the man who beat you up, Slade?
I told you it was dark. He came from behind me.
But he talked to you first. Couldn't you recognize his voice?
He talked in a whisper. Could you recognize a man who whispered in your ear in the dark, sailor?
I'd never forget him. I cherish him always. Hey, look what we got. We got an inspector. You come to issue a license on Slate's beaten up head, LaSalle?
I come for Senor Shannon's dirty thumb.
Huh? Tell me it's just that I'm in shock, sailor.
Your soiled thumb, please, on this ink pad. And now, on this paper. Thank you. And here's a tissue to wipe the thumb clean.
You short on fingerprints at headquarters, LaSalle?
Oh, got oodles and boodles of them. But none that matches the prints on the gun that killed Pedro Montes. But now I have. Lucky me, huh?
What are you talking about? The man was killed while...
Look at this photograph through my magnifying glass, senorita. Is it not remarkable? Al Shannon's prints are exact same as prints on the photo of murder gun?
Let me look too, huh? Oh, LaSalle, this proves nothing. All you got is...
All I got is a murderer. Lucky me. Unlucky you. Don't bother to bandage his head anymore, senorita. In a short little time, this murderer will feel no pain. Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
I opened the windows of my office to let the Havana air in through the iron bars. The police stenographer who takes confessions of murderers is a fiend for wind in the hair.
Wind, huh? In her summer dress, she knows what side her tortilla's buttered on, huh, LaSalle?
The police stenographer is a he, senorita. When he comes in a minute, you will see he is a he. Honest.
I'm happy for him. He's going to get wind in his hair, but whose confession will he be taking while he's sitting in your lap?
Yours, Shannon. While at the Spanish-speaking typewriter on the desk there, far from me.
What'll I be confessing to?
The murder of Pedro Montes. First, it is known that you were at the trailer of Pedro Montes at Paradiso Cove. Second, the gun that killed him is muddy with your fingerprints. Third is, why did you kill him? And we got a three-act play complete with retribution for a murderer. You.
I told you before, he called me. Said he knew something about Mrs. Bradford, about a coral reef, about sponges.
Sponges? That is curious. Mr. Bradford, whom his wife murdered, was a tycoon of sponges. Fished for them at Puente Padre and squeezed their money into his pockets.
Golly, that's an interesting footnote to the events of the day. Mind if I write it down in my memory book, LaSalle?
Go on, Shannon. You are fascinating all of me.
Yeah, wait till I really warm up, kid. I'll drive you crazy. Pedro mentioned Puente Padre and another place, Tinagri. Something frightened him there, he said. Well, maybe there's a connection. Maybe whoever killed Pedro knows something about Bradford's murder that his sick wife can't confess to. Maybe...
Pardon. I wish to go to the windows and think about it. I think, and all I get is I got my back to you.
Let's escape to Puente Padre, huh, Sailor?
Slate, you gone out of your mind.
Puente Padre, that's where we're escaping to. You hear that, LaSalle? I said...
The hole in my head. Don't make me ashamed of it, Shannon.
Shannon swears it. After you, fugitive.
Push your wheelchair, lady.
Larry.
Uh-huh. Me. They teach you good, eh, Velma? Put you in a wheelchair, roll you out on the prison hospital porch so you can sleep in the sun. I told you, honey, there's nothing they won't do for a sick girl.
Why did you stay away so long?
A thing came up.
What thing could keep you away from me?
Call Shannon. Remember Shannon?
I warned you about him, Larry.
The boy slipped away from the police. Took his boat to Puente Padre. The gas station on the docks points with pride to his tab, to anyone who asks. And him a murderer of my buddy, Pedro Montes.
Larry,
he'll do no such thing, honey. Because I'm flying down to Puente Padre. Get there way ahead of him. Fix it so he can't do anything. Except lie in state in a mortician's parlor. Kiss me goodbye, honey. I'm late for work.
Oh, Slate, I love you. This is the best idea you've had this year.
You like this night swimming, huh?
Nuts for it. That's why we came all the way to Puente Padre, huh? To dip. The salt water's better for a gargle.
Well, we came here to see people at that sponge processing plant. It won't open till morning. Hey, sailor, watch this overhand side stroke. Still good as new, huh?
Nifty.
You know what they call me in Papeete? Canitaro. You know what that means?
Fish head.
That's right. I'll tell you something else, sailor, when it comes to... What are you looking at?
That man poised on the rocks over there with a spear. Doesn't he make a beautiful silhouette?
Oh, what makes you so hysterical about a spearfisher? They're just characters without enough IQ to thread a worm on a hook. Those guys... Sailor, watch it.
That crazy fool. He tried to spear us.
Stay here, sailor. I'm going after him.
Wait for me.
Ah, oh, forget it. He had a dinghy with an outboard motor on the other side of those rocks.
Did you recognize him?
How could I? He was standing with his back toward us and then turned. But I know a thing, sailor. Maybe we're going to find out why we're wanted dead in Puente Padre.
You, senor and senorita, have been ushered into my office so early in the morning. I give you hello. But what is it that you wish?
The man at the gate said your name was Pollo and that you were the manager of this processing plant.
The biggest processing plant of sponges in this section of Cuba. A tribute to the genius of the lamented Mr. Bradford.
And his manager, Pollo.
I give you thanks.
How do you accept? Been with Mr. Bradford for a long time?
Since before 5 years. Since before this plant was constructed as a tribute to the genius of the lamented...
Mr. Bradford's buddy, huh?
I accept the compliment. Not only that, I will prove it to you. Come to the wall. This picture on the wall, the arm about my shoulder, belongs to Mr. Bradford. This is for a reason. I financed the expedition which led him to the discovery of the sponge bed.
And for this he made you manager of his sponges?
Si, senorita. Pollo is happy to state that Pollo...
There are two other men in this picture, Pollo. In the background, see? These two guys, know him?
By standards, I have assumed my business was with the lamented Mr...
Uh-huh. This shot looks like it came out of a newspaper, did it?
Si, of the newspaper of Santiago de Cuba. It was taken at a party at which I bade farewell to the late lamented Mr. Bradford. Before he took my boat and his genius to discover...
Thanks a lot, Pollo.
Wasn't he just spongy, Slate? This is getting to be a real educational tour, Slate. A spongery and Puente Padre and... Now we're sitting in a newspaper office in Santiago, waiting for an editor. So you recognize the picture of those two men with Bradford. So?
You recognized one of them, didn't you?
Sure. The guy who asked directions on the beach. The guy who was at Bradford's house, sitting in an easy chair when we brought Mrs. Bradford home.
And that doesn't tweak you, huh?
What's to tweak?
And I'll tell you who the other man in the picture was. Pedro Montez. The guy I was supposed to have murdered. Did you just get a tweak?
I have found the information you have asked for, senor. Senorita, please come into my office. This is the print of the picture, no?
Yeah, that's it.
I have pulled the files on the news story. The story concerns Senor Bradford who went looking for sponge beds.
And what about the other two men?
Senors Montes and an Americano, Larry Nolan. They were with him on the expedition. This was learned when Senor Bradford returned. 3 months later, Bradford said these two men were drowned.
Uh-huh. Tell me one other thing. Did you ever hear of a place called Tinagri?
A fable. A coral reef 20 miles off Puente Padre that is said to appear and disappear into and out of the ocean.
Has anybody ever seen it?
Oh, some say they have, but I have not. What I do not see is not for believing. That is why I'm a great editor.
What are you going to do when we get our boat back to Havana, Slate?
Up to LaSalle and tell him the whole story.
Larry Nolan, huh? Killer.
I figure it that way. Mrs. Bradford is taking his rap.
I'd take yours.
Oh, she got a crazy act, sailor. Maybe it's real, maybe it's not. I don't know.
It's real enough for our purpose.
Well, Larry Nolan. Welcome aboard, killer.
Thanks. I've been aboard all the time. If I'd known you were going to be so friendly, I'd have crawled out of my hole before, me and my gun. 3 hours aboard this tub is enough to make a man homesick for land.
We'll give you some land when we get back to Havana, Nolan.
Did I skin you with that spear, Shannon?
I haven't looked.
I looked. Nothing.
Bradford left you on Tenegri Reef, didn't he, Larry? You and Pedro Montes. Left you to drown.
Can you imagine a man doing that just because he struck it rich and was afraid we'd horn in on him?
But you got off the reef before it sank again.
Got back to Havana, bided my time. Mrs. Bradford helped me to bide it. She's quite a helper. Liked the idea of killing her husband like anything.
Little Pedro Montes could have loused it, huh? So he had to go.
You and him. You still got to go, Shannon. You and her. You two kiddies are going over the side.
Slate's a Conitaro, but it's 30 miles to shore. He's not that good.
You either.
Me either.
Jump if you don't want to get bloody.
Let's go, sailor.
Just because you say so, Slate. You okay, Slate?
Sure.
Take it easy with that overhand side stroke, honey. We've got a long way.
Keep swimming, sailor. I'll see you in a little while. I forgot to give something to Larry Nolan. Much better with a key, Larry.
Shannon.
Come and get it, baby.
My gun.
Try this.
Right. My gun. I'll kill you.
Hands out of the pocket, Buster.
No guns allowed.
Oh.
Hey, sailor, where are you? Sailor, I can't find you in my light. Sailor, where are you?
In back of you, knucklehead.
Huh? Oh. How'd you get on the boat?
Swam underwater after you. Climbed on after you.
What were you doing during the fight?
Gaping.
Now, come on, sailor. I'll take you home.
Slate.
What do you want?
What were you doing in the South Seas, in Papeete?
Oh, I was beached there.
Did you like it?
Who wouldn't? The natives made me a Moro Tiki.
Oh, is that how you got to be one?
A Moro Tiki is a blood brother. That's quite an honor.
A Konitaro, a Moro Tiki. That spells blood brother fish head. Come here, Slate. Anything in the South Seas that beats that?
Well...
or that? Slate, I'm talking to you. Slate? Oh, numb, huh? Hold still, honey. I'll bring you back to life. Come here.
And so, our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
Bold Venture and Revenge Equals Murder, and we don't have a date on that because that was a syndicated radio show that they made back in Hollywood, I think Ziff Productions, and they sold it to individual radio stations, and that way they didn't need a network, but unfortunately there's no actual date that we have available to tell you when it was recorded. For our final show today, we have some music, and Bing Crosby is a star with his guest star Groucho Marx and Dorothy Shay. Let's give it a listen. This is from 1947.
When the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
This is Bob Murphy welcoming you to Philco Radio Time, produced and transcribed in Chicago with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra and Bing's guest, Dorothy Shay, the Park Avenue hillbilly, and Groucho Marx, the raucous revenueer. Tonight we're at the United States Veterans Administration Hospital at Hines, Illinois. And now here he is, Bing Crosby himself.
Hi, fellas. First off, I want to thank Bob Murphy of the Breakfast Club for pinch-hitting for Ken Carpenter tonight. How do you like doing a dinner show, Bob?
Well, just fine, Bing. But look, why didn't you bring Ken Carpenter from Hollywood with you?
Well, you see, Bob, Ken comes from Peoria. I was afraid if I'd brought him back to Illinois, the sheriff from Peoria might come up and claim him.
Well, why, Bing? What, has Ken done something wrong?
Well, he's been announcing on the radio. You get 10 years down there for that.
I think I better change the subject quick here, boy. Well, how about asking you something about your trip east, Bing? Anything eventful happen?
Oh, yes. At Albuquerque, a couple of Indians named Sid Silvers and Fred Finkelhoff boarded the train, and they nailed me.
You sure bought a nice blanket from them, too, Bing. I knew it was very good.
They didn't sell me this blanket, Bob. They had a brand new song. It's about a ball player who went to Albuquerque. Think the lads here might like it. Will you pitch me a downbeat, John Scott? Something underhanded, huh? His name was Lefty, a southpaw from Brooklyn, training in the Golden West. She was the belle of Albuquerque. Pull up a chair if you care to hear the rest. He was with the Dodgers out in Albuquerque when he saw Maria smile and nod her head. 'Cause his time was getting short, he started talking turkey. but she couldn't comprehend a word he said. With her lingo, he was having lots of trouble. So he made a pass like any southpaw would. And so right away, their two hearts hit a double. It was love, a language they both understood. Later on, he bought a Spanish dictionary. And he turned to Paige, I love you. And instead of sighing, how you hit me, Mary, he kissed her and said, you're almost dead. Now Maria sits and waits in Albuquerque. She's still catching flies, although they're far apart. He's a cinch to pitch next year for Albuquerque, 'cause he left her with a promise in his heart. Aye, 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 aye. All his Brooklyn fans are wailing, 'cause his pitching has been failing, and the bottles they are flailing, and the Dodgers they are trailing. Aye, 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 aye. He's pathetic now to watch her, got so Spanish and so hotcha, calls each lady fan muchacha, and the umpires cucaracha. Aye, 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 aye. And their fine Brooklyn fellow changed his name to Manuelo. Aye, aye, they cry, we can kiss the flag goodbye. Though his pitching's getting wild and oh so jerky, Manuelo doesn't rave and throw his glove. He knows he'll be in form in Albuquerque, 'cause Maria will be there to catch his glove.
Bing, say, the way you sang that song, it's just as terrific as your blanket.
Well, thanks, Robert, but you sound ominously like Ken Carpenter, knocking yourself out over a tune here the minute it's commercial time.
Well, I know, Bing, but, you know, I got to kind of wind up tonight. It's a new pitch here on your show.
Never fear, Ace. Maybe you can get our radio commercials out of a rut, huh?
Well, look, Ben, the trouble is I only talk about Philco refrigerators on the Breakfast Club.
Well, why don't we sell the 1201 with a freezer locker tonight?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Slide a record in, take out a roast of beef.
Well, now you're talking. And think how much handier the portable would be with this summer with the easy-out ice trays built in, you know.
Well, now, look, Bing,
hot and cold folding doors and a built-in tea wagon. We'd have everything here.
Look, Bing, if you think Philco would really go
Help it? The research department has been gold-bricking on us, Bob. Let's feed them some new ideas.
Well, probably you listeners have seen plenty of table-model radio phonographs, right?
Right. One listener heard from.
Okay, but you haven't heard anything till you take a listen to Philco's new table model with the automatic record changer. It's loaded with power, terrific on performance, and Philco's new changer handles up to 12 records, slick and quick. Just go hear it, that's all we ask you. Oh, and P.S., when you buy your new refrigerator, ask for the refrigerator with all the features, hmm? That's Philco, too.
That's the one for me, boy. I recorded this song some years ago, but apparently even that didn't stop it from being revived again this year. Looks like you just can't kill a good song.
Is it a sin? Is it a crime? Loving you, dear, as I do. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty. Guilty of loving you. Maybe I'm wrong, dreaming of you, dreaming the lonely night through. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty. Guilty of dreaming of you. What can I do? What can I say after I've taken the blame? You say you're through, you'll go your way, but I'll always feel just the same. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, loving you, dear, like I do. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty. Guilty of loving you.
What can I say? What can I do after I've taken the blame? You say you're through, you'll go your way, but I'll always feel just the same. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, loving you, dear, like I do. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty. Guilty of loving you.
That was Guilty, sung by Bing Crosby. I think he should demand a new trial, don't you, fellas?
I could swear I just heard Groucho Marx's voice.
Most people do when they hear it.
Take a bow, Groucho.
No instructions, please. I'm an old ham at this game.
Bow.
Groucho, I must say you built yourself up quite
an
interest
there.
Okay, get him out of it. You certainly know how to milk an audience.
I should know how to milk. When I was a baby, my nurse was Elsie, the cow.
A cow for a nursemaid? Did your folks want you to be a farmer?
Yeah, some parents want their children to be musicians, so they get them a piano. But me, I had a cow to practice on. I was very clever, though, Bing. I learned to milk Elsie before I could talk.
Well, you must have had a lot of pull.
Huh? Well, I certainly had my hands full.
You had plenty of pull, though.
Yes,
huh?
I was left holding the bag all the time. But
that'd be nicely edited.
Yes, I certainly will. There'd be nothing here at all. But I learned a lot from that cow, Bing.
What?
Not cow, Bing. Is that your name? Cow? You know, I can still brush away flies with my tail. And that's not easy.
Well, it'd be a cinch if you had a tail. Anyhow, Groucho, before we go completely daffy here, allow me to extend a warm, firm hand of welcome to Philco Radio Time.
Please do, but make sure that warm, firm hand contains a large, firm check.
You want a firm check?
Yes, the Philco firm, if you don't mind.
Oh, now, Groucho, let's not be mercenary.
I'm not being mercenary, Crosby. It's just that I need money, if you'll pardon the expression.
Don't tell me you're broke.
Of course I won't tell you. I'm no blabbermouth. A few years ago, I had enough money to choke a horse.
What happened?
I made a mistake. I bet on the horse instead of choking him.
Well, since you took a bath at the Downs, Groucho, I'll scratch out a check for you.
Look, I'll do my own scratching. Just use a pen, huh? Here, use my pen. It's the old-fashioned kind. It uses ink.
Is it right underwater?
Certainly.
Will it write under $100?
I hope not. Of course it did. It also writes under Touran Bay. That's in case you want to talk taking.
Oh, look here. Well, I may as well fill out the check. What's your real name, Groucho?
My real name is Dame May Whitty, but you can't notice it until I start walking.
Okay, Grouch, here's your loot. By the way, what are you doing in Chicago anyhow? What's happening?
Well, I came here to settle my uncle's affairs. He left me his entire collection of over 400 clocks.
And you're winding up the estate.
That was my line at rehearsal.
It looks like you're going to blow it, so I grabbed it.
The moral is, save your money and you'll never have to do guest shots.
You never miss
that
much.
That was my line at rehearsal.
No.
I never miss anything. I always bury myself in my work, and that's pretty dangerous when you work in a glue factory. Well, I said it, and I'm stuck with it. Huh?
I didn't know you were in the glue business, old boy.
I just gave it up. That joke made me quit.
What's your record? What's your touch?
Well, here? I'm in the sightseeing business.
Sightseeing?
Yes, and believe me, you're a sight I'd like to show my customers, Bing. You're a sight even if I don't show you to my customers.
Whatever made you go in the sightseeing business?
I'll do anything to make a buck.
Anything?
Well, not anything. I've never been on Bob Hope's program.
Let us all pray you never sink so low.
Well, of course not. A man has to have... You have to have some standards. I'll never sink that low, Bing. No. If it doesn't stop raining around here, I'm going to sink lower than that. Jolson in his April shower.
Yeah, look what he's done.
But I love Chicago. As a matter of fact, my grandfather's grandfather came here many years ago with a wagon load of coleslaw.
Why coleslaw?
Well, it took a lot of cabbage to live in Chicago those days. I must say...
That's the corned beef crowd applauding us.
You know, my grandfather was a clever man. He certainly had a good head on his shoulders.
That wasn't his head. It was a girl he met in Indianapolis. Anyhow, Bing, right after the program, I'm going to take you on a guided tour throughout the city in my glass-bottom bus. I'll show you Chicago from every angle.
Yeah. You really know this town?
Do I know this town? Yeah. Well, I can remember way back when they had a Republican mayor.
Really? You do go back.
Yes, I do. I may, as soon as this is over. Now, Crosby, I have two tours. There's the $3 tour and the $5 tour.
What's the difference between the $3 tour and the $5 tour?
I'll thank you to keep a civil tongue in your head. When I want any conversation from you, I'll put in a requisition for it. Through channels.
Well, I'd still like...
The English channel, I think.
I'd still like to know the difference between the $3 tour and the $5 tour.
Well, on the $5 tour, we close the windows and we pass the stockyards.
For $2 extra, you should burn incense.
Make it $3 extra and I'll burn the bus. You'll love this trip, though, Bing.
Clever, huh? We hit all the points of interest?
Oh, first I take you to the top of the Wrigley Building.
Oh, how gay.
I even show you the juicy fruit room. From there, I point out such interesting shots as the Golden Gate Bridge.
That's in San Francisco. You can't see the Golden Gate Bridge from the Wrigley Building.
I didn't say you could see it. I just said I'd point it out. As a matter of fact, you can hardly see Chicago from the Wrigley Building. After that, I show you Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls is in Buffalo.
Niagara Falls is in what Buffalo?
Buffalo, New York.
Oh, well, that's different. I thought you were trying to tell me that some buffalo had swallowed Niagara Falls. Well, let's not argue about the falls. Come up to my room and take a shower. It's only water anyhow, huh?
Got you.
Just throw your hair on the bed.
Okay. I think your trip is a fraud. It's a swindle. A sightseeing tour of Chicago should include the Field Museum, the Shedd Aquarium, Soldier's Field, the Planetarium, Lincoln Park.
All right, wise guy. Here's $5. You show me around town, huh?
You even left out the Art Institute.
Well, if it's pictures you want, I'll sing you a song about a girl who has plenty of pictures.
I should love to hear about that.
I usually have a big vocal group to assist me with this number, but I left them at the Pittsburgh ballpark selling Frankfurters. Yes, and... That's probably the hottest thing they'll have at that park, huh?
Not too loud. They're going to finish.
Bing, would you mind singing me a few la-la-las to help me out?
I shall la-la-la until unconscious. Just pitch till you win, boy.
You go. If I am when ready, Greg.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lydia, say, have you met Lydia? Lydia, the tattooed lady. She has eyes that men adore so, and...
We'll start this over. You went on the micro.
I was on the mic?
No, you were off the micro. Now
Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, Lydia, say, have you met Lydia? Lydia, the tattoo lady. She has eyes that men adore so, and a torso, even more so. Lydia, oh, Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh, Lydia, the queen of them all. On her back is the Battle of Waterloo. Beside it, the wreck of the Hesperus, too. And proudly above waves the red, white, and blue. You can learn a lot from Lydia. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. She can give you a view of the world in tattoo if you'll step up and tell her where. For a dime you can see Kankakee or Paris or Washington crossing the Delaware.
La la la, la la la, la la la, la la la.
Oh, Lydia, oh, Lydia, say, have you met Lydia? Lydia, the tattooed lady. When her muscles start relaxing, up the hill comes Andrew Jackson. Lydia, oh, Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh, Lydia, the champ of them all. For to bid she will do a mazurka in jazz with a view of Niagara that nobody has. And on a clear day, you can see Alcatraz. You can learn a lot
from Lydia.
La la la, la la la, la la la, la la la.
Come along and see Buffalo Bill with his lasso. Just a little classic by Mendel Picasso. Here is Captain Spaulding exploring the Amazon. Here's Godiva, but with her pajamas on.
La la la, la la la, la la la, la la la.
Oh, Lydia, oh, Lydia, oh, have you met Lydia? Lydia, the tattooed lady. When she stands, the world grows littler. When she sits on Hitler. Lydia, oh, Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh, Lydia, the queen of them all. She once swept an admiral clear off his feet. The ships on her hips made his heart skip a beat. And now the old boy's in command of the fleet. For he went and married Lydia. I said Lydia.
He said Lydia.
I said Lydia.
We said Lydia. La la.
Oh, that was jolly, Groucho. Really very, very fun. Never mind me. Congratulations on your part. I wouldn't be surprised if that would bring on a big wave of la-la-la-la-ling.
Nice little part I had, la-la-la.
Yes.
A leopard gets better spots than that.
Now, if you'll stand by, Groucho, I should like to present a very talented young lady.
This girl is a dish. She doesn't have to have talent.
You're so right. Many of you in our radio audience have enjoyed this gal's records on Columbia and Columbia Album or had the privilege of seeing her at the St. Regis in New York, the Empire Room in the Palmer House, or currently at the Mark Hopkins in San Francisco.
The St. Regis, the Palmer House, and Mark Hopkins? What is this girl, a traveling bellboy?
Oh, no. Ladies and gentlemen, presenting the Park Avenue Hillbilly, Miss Dorothy Shea.
Gosh, thanks, Bing.
Well, it's certainly nice to see you, Dorothy.
Gee, Bing, ever since I've been in show business, I've wanted to be on your program. Now that I'm on it, I'm so scared I can hardly hold still.
Well, just grab a hold of me, Dorothy. We'll do a little rumba. No use wasting all that motion.
Listen, Crosby, you going to introduce me to this girl, or do I have to go outside and run over myself with my bus?
Pardon me, Groucho, pardon me. Dorothy Shea, may I present Groucho Marx?
I'm mighty thrilled to meet you, Mr. Marx.
Well, I should think you would be. Listen, Crosby, I thought you said this girl was a hillbilly. She's got shoes on.
How do you know? How do you know? You haven't looked at her feet yet.
Mr. Marx is right. I have got shoes on. And boy, are my feet killing me.
Miss Shea, take my shoes. I'm sure you'll be much more comfortable in these. I've been walking around in them for years. And when I say walking around in them, I can really walk around in them.
Have you got a tour through them?
Yes, Oxford is on my tour of England. Take the shoes, Dorothy, eh? Took an awful lacing on that joke, eh?
Oh, I couldn't accept your shoes, Mr. Marx, but you're sweet.
I seem to be making progress. There will be a slight pause while I get rid of Crosby. Dorothy, I'm running a special moonlight tour for two. Shall we go?
Gee, I couldn't think of going without my mother.
I'm glad you mentioned her. We need someone to drive the bus.
What about me?
You can take tickets. Say, Dorothy, that's a lovely gown you've almost got on there. Huh?
Thank you.
Must be made of sense then. At least it takes my breath away. Pope may be pretty sore if he hears we did a sense joke.
No, he just got control of the yo-yo jokes and the bubble gum.
Shucks, Mr. Marx, I can't tell whether you're serious or just full of corn pone.
Well, shucks, Dorothy, I must be serious. I never ate any corn pone in my life. And by the way, aren't we a little too far north for all this southern fried dialogue?
Well, you see, Groucho, Dorothy hails from Florida.
You mean she came by storm? That's ridiculous, hail from Florida, indeed.
Why, I've seen hailstones as big as oranges in Florida.
If Florida's so smart, why doesn't it have oranges as big as oranges? Can you squeeze a hailstone and get orange juice?
Dorothy, while Groucho figures this thing out, how about a song, huh?
Okay, Bing. Do you think the boys would like feuding, fighting, and fussing?
Oh, I think it ought to have the place in sections. Just stand right in.
Beyond the busy highway, beyond the city strife, we highly treasure and take great pleasure in our plane away home, laughing. Feudin', a fussin', and a fightin'. Sometimes it gets to be exciting. Don't like them ornery neighbors down by the creek. We'll be plumb out of neighbors next week. Grandma, poor old grandma, why'd they have to shoot poor grandma? She lies neath the clover. Someone caught her bending over, picking up a daisy feud, a fussin' and a fightin'. This is a wrong that needs a rightin'. Let's get that funeral service over, so then we'll go feud and fightin' again. Feudin', a fightin' and a fussin'. That's all that's going on with us. And we are such neighborly people, peaceful and sweet, all except when we happen to meet. Daughter, baby daughter, poisoned all the neighbor's chicken. Daughter, shouldn't order. Least though she could run like the dickens, they hit her with a shovel, feud, a fightin' and a fussin'. No use of standing here a cussin'. Polish the shootin' iron, mo, I'm gettin' again to go feudin', a fussin', a feudin' and a fussin' again.
Great, Dorothy. Really, really sharp. But I've heard you sing that song many times before, and tonight it seemed a little short. Did you leave out some of it?
Well, yes, I did. You see, Bing.
I thought so.
Well, this is my first appearance on your show, and I didn't want to take up too much time.
Take all the time you want, Dorothy. After all, we don't want your pappy down here with a squirrel rifle.
I should say not. Come on, Dorothy. Finish up your tune.
Well, I'm kind of bashful, so I thought maybe you and Mr. Marks might help me out.
Well, okay, Groucho.
You want to help a lady in distress?
Sure will.
A fightin', a feudin',
and a fussin'. That's all that's goin' on with usin'. We are such neighborly people, peaceful and sweet.
All except when we happen to meet. Daughter, baby daughter, poisoned all the neighbor's chickens. Daughter, sure daughter, least till she could run like the dickens.
They hit her with a shovel.
Oh, cute and a fightin'
and a fussin'.
Ain't no use standing here a cussin'. Let's give our daughter a pistol now that she's born.
And go feuding and fighting some more.
A fussing, a fighting, and a feuding. Why did that sheriff keep intruding?
He was a curious critter, you see, was well.
It's a shame he was pushed down the well.
The doggone stuff don't taste like it oughta.
Look here, this is liquor. That's why we all drink corn liquor.
It's a better with your shoes off.
Feudin', a fussin', and a fightin'.
Oh, Jody,
this ain't no corner you can brighten. Polish the shoe lines more, we're getting to you.
A fightin', a feudin', and a fightin', a feudin', and a fightin', a feudin', and a fightin'.
bring folks out of the hills that ain't been to town for years.
Never catch us. We got a head start on them.
I don't know about the start, but we sure didn't have a finish.
We sure did. Well, Bing and Dorothy and Groucho, if you'll allow me to wave the olive branch amid all this talk of feuding and fighting, why don't we get together here on something everybody agrees on? Like Philco radios, for instance. Why kid around about it? It's in the record that year after year, ever since 1930, you radio listeners have made Philco the undisputed leader of the radio industry because you agreed that a Philco radio gave you the finest quality and the greatest value for your radio dollar. And now that goes double for the 1947 Philcos. Back of every new Philco are not only the resources of the world's largest radio manufacturer, but all the wartime research from the Philco laboratories as well. You'll find that's equally true of Philco radio phonographs and table models, of the sensational new Philco Portable, as well as brand new inventions like the Philco 1201. Any Philco you buy is brand new all the way through. So look at the leader first. Look at a Philco, famous for quality the world over.
It's all right. Miss Peggy Lee turned this tune for us on the show some weeks ago. Show you how game I am, I'm going to try and follow her. How game can you be?
I'll close my eyes to everyone but you. And when I do, I'll see you standing there. I'll lock my heart to any other caress. I'll never say yes to a new love affair. I'll close my eyes to everything that's gay. If you're not there to share each lovely day and through the years, those moments when we're apart, I'll close my eyes and see you with my heart. I'll close my eyes and see you with my heart.
That's about it for now. Fellas, I want to tell you it's been a real treat to get out here to VA at Hines Hospital.
That goes for me, too, Bing.
I'm glad that I could get out here, too, boys.
You going to hang around Chicago for a few days, Grouch?
No, I think I'm going to leave. Chicago's too windy for me and vice versa.
Man, that old wind was blowing last night, wasn't it?
It sure was. I went to sleep in the Ambassador Hotel last night, and I woke up this morning in the Shaman House.
How was the floor show? Well, you should...
I was on the ceiling, huh?
You shouldn't have opened your window, Groucho.
If I ever go to bed in this town again, I wouldn't even sleep with my mouth open. I might find my bridge bike at the Edgewater Beach.
Who are your guests next week, Bing?
Oh, next week we got Irving Berlin and Al Jolson. They're going to huddle around the mic with me.
Well, I better leave my teeth here then, huh?
Gosh, Jolson and Berlin.
Yeah.
I must make a note of that.
Don't bother. Just listen to Walter Winchell Sunday. He'll probably tell the world.
Walter's our press agent. Well, good night, Groucho.
Good night, Bing.
Night. So long, Dorothy.
So long, Bing. So long, Groucho.
So long, Dorothy. I'll see you at the bus.
Will you be in it?
In it? Don't be silly. I'll be under it. Oh.
Good night, folks.
Good night, huh?
This program was produced and transcribed in Chicago by Bill Morrow and Murdo McKenzie. Tune in to Philco Radio Time next week and hear John Scott Trotter, his chorus and orchestra, and Bing's guests, Irving Berlin and Al Jolson. Groucho Marx will soon be seen in the motion picture Copacabana. Mr. Marx appears through the courtesy of his agent, who by an odd coincidence happens to be his brother, Gummo Marx.
Who by an odd coincidence has already spent his commission.
And remember, only Philco makes the 1201. It's the newest invention from Philco, the leader.
We've dipped into radio's past for this week, and we're back next week to do it all over again. I hope you're going to join us when we do that. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.